The Lord has given us four snapshots of the church at Ephesus. The first one is in Acts chapter 19 when Paul goes there. The second one is his conversation with the elders a few years later. The third one is the book of Ephesians. And the fourth one is Jesus' comments to them about 30 or 40 years later. And within the ability for us to look at that church, we get the opportunity to see how churches grow and develop and the things that cause them to fall into hard times or fall into sinful activities. So I wanted to spend some time this morning talking a little bit about the church at Ephesus. We're told that Paul taught daily in Ephesus for 2 years. I can't even imagine how exciting it would be to sit at the feet of Paul day after day after day, listening to him teaching by inspiration, expressing his own ideas and thoughts about things based on those scriptures that he was revealing to them. And so by the time Paul had finished, we have a strong church with elders. And so I'd like to read the statement there. He went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months. It's interesting, in Ephesus it was 3 weeks. In Thessalonica it was 3 weeks. In Ephesus it's 3 months. He spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus, and this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Very likely at that time the seven churches of Asia were established, because Paul was working in the center of Asia, and the disciples who had learned all these things at his feet were taking them back to their own homes and developing these congregations. So Paul is working with the church. Then, of course, he has to leave. And when he calls to the elders, he expresses some concerns. I know this. After my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So the church is still sound. This church is still strong. The church is still doing everything that it's supposed to do. Either the Holy Spirit has specifically told Paul this is going to happen, or Paul understands from what he's seen, and the Holy Spirit is verifying it to him, that this is what's going to come upon them. The point that is being made here is, get ready. Prepare. To the church, to the elders, this information needs to get out. You need to watch the elders. There's going to be some issues Paul has told us about, and you need to be prepared. The writing of the letter to the Ephesians, which is 61 to 63, which is about maybe 8 to 10 years later, church is very healthy. Therefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So even at this late date, 61 to 63 AD, while Paul is in prison in Rome, he is telling them, You are doing great. You are a congregation, just exactly what the Lord wants. I'm thankful to God for your love for the saints, for your faith. Obviously, for their faith, their stand for the truth. So the church starts when Paul gets there on his third missionary journey. Now we are several years in, and the church is still doing very well. But now, when we come to 1 Timothy, which is about 3 or 4 years later, the church is beginning to show signs of weakness. And so he leaves Timothy there to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So they already are. They're teaching other doctrines, and clearly the church hasn't thrown them out. The church has not marked them and dealt with them. So he leaves Timothy there, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia. So Paul's going on to Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea, but he leaves Timothy in Ephesus. I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith. So Timothy is now to remain behind so that he can warn and he can charge. He's going to hear these people, and when he hears them, he's to charge them. He is to tell them, don't teach any other doctrine. In verse 18, Paul goes on to say, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, it's very difficult when we read this to know, were these two men at Ephesus, or was this an example that Paul is drawing for Timothy about what happened in another congregation? But he's warning Timothy, you're going to have to fight there. This is not going to be a comfortable preaching assignment. This is not going to be something where you are going to be able to just stand up and preach, no opposition, no difficulties. He is telling Timothy, you are going to have to wage the good warfare because there are some who have suffered shipwreck. What a terrible way to look at it. What a terrible way to describe it. Here's a Christian sailing to heaven on his faith. A Christian who is able and walking with the Lord, just like the church had been when Paul was there for 3 years. Just like the church had been when he wrote the book of Ephesians. But now, some have suffered shipwreck. Their ship has been destroyed. They will never, ever enter heaven. And Paul is warning Timothy, or asking Timothy, Timothy, I've left you here to save and salvage as much as we can. We're going to be preaching. We're going to be charging people not to teach other doctrines. So the charge that Paul gave to Timothy is our charge. It's a charge of preachers. The charge of Christians. When we see someone like Hymenaeus and Philetus teaching things that are not true, when we see our brethren who are about to or have suffered shipwreck concerning their faith, we need to be warning. We need to be talking. We need to be working. You know something, though? That is not a new charge. We see that charge all the way back in Deuteronomy. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Do you see how he puts it here? The reason that we have to not add or take from is so we can keep them. Because if we add something to a command, we can't keep that command anymore. Jesus said, if you add human wisdom to my commands, your worship is vain. That you may keep the commandments of the Lord, don't you add one word. We've been talking about this in our Sunday night lessons. When churches start adding things that God never asked them to do, they're not keeping God's commands anymore, they're keeping man's commands. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it. Deuteronomy 12, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. This is the charge. This is what I love about the Lord's church that you don't see in the denominations. We are constantly making assessments of the commandments themselves to make certain that we're doing only what the commandments themselves ask us to do. We don't want to add anything. We don't want to remove anything. We want to keep the doctrines exactly the way we need to learn, not to go beyond what is written. In Proverbs 30, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Think about how many people today are going to be found a liar on the judgment day. You don't need to be baptized to be saved. Just accept Christ as your personal Savior and join the church of your choice. What will God have to say to people like that? What do you think God's going to say to Billy Graham? Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. But let's forget about the denominations. Let's come into the Lord's church itself. And let's understand that the philosophy or the attitude of rigidity, of doctrinal purity, is not a charge as the world makes it. You people are too narrow-minded. You people are rigid. You people do not understand that the scriptures need to change with the times. And we're holding back from that because we know it's not true. God's word is timeless. And God's people are the same from generation to generation. As God told Joshua, be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Now the only change we would have to make here is to all the law which Jesus my servant has commanded you. But other than that, it's exactly the same. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So Paul's charge to Timothy, we're not misunderstanding it. When he says charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine, well, that's what God told Moses. That's what God told Joshua. That's what God told those people in Proverbs chapter 30. Don't do it. Jesus charged to his own disciples, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine. Do not add to my word. Do not take from my word. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Do my will. Put my will above your own will. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And then he goes on to tell us what we all understand and what people seemingly outside of the Lord's church can't understand. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name. Done many wonders in your name. Proof. Proof positive. Most Pentecostals today have this proof. What does Jesus say? I will declare to them, I never knew you. Now, the never knew you is not because of the mighty works, wonders, and signs which you were doing. The I never knew you is because you weren't doing the will of my Father in heaven. You had added, you had removed. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus charged to his apostles, all authority has been given to me. Verse 19, go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything. Not more, not less, everything I have commanded you. And Paul made it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in Ephesians chapter 3 that the Holy Spirit kept them to do that. They did not add one thing. As Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, if you think you're a prophet or you think you're spiritual, you must acknowledge and admit that my writings are the commandments of the Lord, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. If we keep all things that he has commanded, then I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If we don't keep what they have commanded, then not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus charged to the Pharisees, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now, how else could you word it? Don't add to my word. Don't remove from my word. If you add to your word or you add to God's word, it's a commandment of men. If you take away from God's word, it's also a commandment of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold your tradition. You hold the tradition of men, washing pitchers, cups, many other things you do. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. Most people today, I think, they view the church and then they accessorize it. The church that we read about in the scriptures, we'll keep that church. But we're going to add instrumental music, or we're going to add Easter, or we're going to add or we're going to take away, we're going to remove these commands that don't fit well with our understanding today. But look at verse 9. All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. So when Paul was at Ephesus, he was teaching them these things. And when Paul left Ephesus, they were holding fast, although the Holy Spirit warned Paul to tell them, the time is going to come where men from among yourselves are going to arise and do these very things. Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken, the New Testament scriptures, will be our judge if we add to them. How did John put it? If anyone adds to the words of the book of this prophecy, God will add to him all the plagues that are in this book. And if anyone takes away from any of the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take his name out of the book of life. The Lord has not minced words. He has not left us wondering if our mandate of not adding to the scriptures or taking from the scriptures, which is the most serious charge that people make against the people in the Church of Christ. People look at the people in the Church of Christ as narrow-minded, bigoted. They are rigid. They are more concerned about doctrine than they are love. They don't believe in grace because they keep expecting people to keep all of the commandments. They don't understand that God is going to cut us a lot of slack. And it'd be wonderful, brethren, if he would and if they were right. But after looking at all these charges, there is no way that we can let down our guard. We would become shipwreck. We would shipwreck our faith if we don't hold this to the end. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So what do? Well, we're like the Bereans. We're searching the scriptures. Do we have to have elders over every church? Can we put something between Jesus and his churches? Can we put something in there, a pope, an institution, something along that line? No, we cannot. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Think about Jesus saying, well, Lord, I'm just going to add one little thing to the law here, or I'm going to take one little thing away. He couldn't be our sacrifice. He had to be perfect. He had to perfectly keep every single one of God's commands. And it's fascinating to look at him condemning people who did make modifications as sinners. So we know he didn't do that. Now, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So there's my template. My template is not what people are telling me in the world today, trying to shame us into compromise, trying to get us to become like them because we make them uncomfortable. But the Lord said, no, you use me. I kept my Father's commandments perfectly. And if you keep my commandments the same way, you will abide in my love. So where's our wiggle room? You know, I would love to have some wiggle room. I would love to be able to get along with people and look at them as my brethren and have fellowship with them. But we cannot have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We have to keep the charge. And if we don't keep the charge, Well, he just goes on and on. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. We need to be narrow-minded. We need to be rigid. We need to make sure that what we speak and what the Scriptures speak are the same way. There can't be any divisions among the Lord's people. The divisions that we see today in the denominations make it very clear that that is not, or these people are not, the Lord's people. There can't be any divisions. We need to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's pretty rigid. That's pretty narrow-minded. But not really. God's mind is broad. When we follow God's commandments, our mind is as broad as God wants it to be. Now, these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think or not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another. That's our problem today. We have a lot of puffed up people. We have a lot of puffed up people who think they can find in the Scriptures what no one else can find, and they change what God has said to suit them. And then when we don't follow along with them, we're the ones with the problem. The way of truth is evil spoken of. Not because the way of truth is wrong, but because these people have gone beyond what is written, and now they're puffed up. And now the only way they can justify what they've done is to condemn those who have not done it. I marvel that you're turning away so soon. Now, brethren, I know that you know all these verses, but I just wanted to give a complete, comprehensive overview. I guess I won't say complete, because I'm going to skip a lot of them. But God has warned us again and again and again, just like he told Adam and Eve in the garden. If you touch that, you will surely die. Now, Satan added to God's words. Satan modified the command. You won't die. You'll just become wise like God. God is not demanding that you don't eat of this tree. Go ahead and eat it. It will all turn out well. It didn't turn out well at all. Not going to turn out well for these people. They're about to make shipwreck their faith. They're turning aside into the land. I'm amazed that you're so quickly turning away from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. How many different gospels are there today? You need to be baptized to be saved. You don't need to be baptized to be saved. You need to accept Christ as your personal Savior. You need to accept this book of prayer or the Catholic's traditions or the denominational doctrines, which is not another, only there are some who trouble you and want to pervert. They want to add, want to take from. But if we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, well, lo and behold, we have what they preach to us. If anyone, an angel of heaven, even the apostles themselves, if they were to contradict themselves or add or take from, let them be accursed. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You know, I use this verse all the time. I use it for the Seventh-day Adventists. They try to use the law of Moses to justify their conduct. I use it with the Catholics because they use the law of Moses to justify their priesthood. We're all priests in the New Testament. We don't have a priesthood in the sense of the Old Testament law. People drawing from the law are severed from Christ. Even though it's coming, we're just taking a little bit out of the Old Testament scriptures and moving them. It still comes from the same Bible. What does Paul say? You're severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace, made shipwreck the faith. Is it hard to understand? It's not hard to understand at all. The problem that we face today is there's just a massive group of people who are so quickly removing themselves to a different gospel. There are so many different gospels today that The true gospel looks like the problem. The true gospel is too narrow-minded. The true gospel doesn't have enough grace. The true gospel doesn't allow man to modify commands like they have done. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Let that one sink in for a minute. Whoever transgresses. Some translations have whoever goeth onward. Whoever goes beyond. Here's the boundary, the scriptures. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. If we abide in the teachings of Christ, we don't go to the left. We don't go to the right. We don't add to. We don't take from. We don't have human traditions. He who abides in the doctrine has both the Father and the Son. But he who does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Don't you think we should be narrow-minded here? Don't you think that we should hold fast to the traditions and not go beyond what is written? 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. Actually, let's find that in the next slide. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, if that was true in the first century, think of how much more true it is today. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. Now, the we here are the people who wrote the New Testament for us. They're of God. Everything in the scriptures is of God. Don't go beyond it. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. Doesn't that put things into a different perspective? Here's a guy over here saying, you know, I can't believe everything Paul wrote because Paul has written some things that don't fit with my view of how the world should be. Whether it be homosexuality, whether it be the role of men and women, whether it be the role of women in the church, Paul doesn't fit with me. But you know something? It wasn't Paul. Paul was of God, just like John was of God. And he who hears Paul is of God. And he who does not hear Paul is not of God. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So let's not listen to what they say. Let's listen to what the scriptures say about what they say. The scriptures say the apostles are of God. The prophets are of God. The New Testament scriptures are of God. He who hears those, doesn't add to, doesn't take from, doesn't listen to human teaching or traditions of men, they're of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. That makes it so simple. If they're in another church teaching things that are not in the scriptures, it's a no-brainer. They're not of God. Not because we say so. Not because that's how it has to be for us to be right. But that's not why. We want to be right, but we want to be right because the scriptures tell us we're right. And that's, I think, where most of us are. We're very humble about this. I'm not happy with this. I wish it wasn't this way. I wish that everyone in the world today who says they're a Christian really was a Christian. It doesn't make me happy. It doesn't make me feel important or special. It makes me sad. But don't believe every spirit. Test Billy Graham. Test Franklin Graham. Test the people you're talking to at work, the other denominations that are surrounding all around so many different denominations today. I say the other, but I'm not putting us in there. They're of the world. How do I know they're of the world? Because he who knows God hears us. And he who is not of God does not hear us. I quoted this verse earlier. If anyone adds one thing to the book of Revelation, how many people have added this left behind, this idea of the rapture. That's an addition to the book of Revelation. Do you realize that by teaching the rapture, God is going to add to you all the plagues that are written in this book? You realize that when the Jehovah Witnesses tell us that they're part of the 144,000, that they're adding to what's written in the book of Revelation, and God's going to add all the plagues that are written in this book? And do we understand and realize that anybody who takes away these things must quickly come to pass? Don't seal the prophecy. These things are going to happen very quickly. Here we are 2,000 years later. People are taking those out of the book because they don't want them in there. Well, if you take that out of the book, God's going to take away your part from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Revelation is a landmine. Revelation is a dangerous book. And he put this here so we'd approach it with caution. And so we'd be very cautious about what we allow other people's teachings. The people who tell us the Antichrist is here, the people who tell us the end of the world is imminent, they're going to get snagged with this. They're going to get into trouble with this because they're adding to and taking from without any remorse or concern. And so when we take a step back and say, you know, you're really playing with fire here. Oh, you people are do-nothing people. You don't let anybody, you think everybody who doesn't teach what you teach is a false teacher. Well, I would modify that just a little bit. I think that everybody who teaches what's not in the scriptures is a false teacher. And then I constantly make assessments to make sure that I am teaching what's in the scriptures. I think that people who see false teachers become very humble. And they constantly reassess themselves. They constantly relook at what they believe. Make sure that they're doing exactly right. Our charge in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And that time has come. Matter of fact, it's come again and again and again, but we certainly see it loud and clear today. They won't endure the sound doctrine. You can show them a scripture. You can show them what the scripture says. And they still won't listen. They still reject it. They won't endure sound doctrine. But having itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts, will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. But be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. Do we see, brethren, that the same warning Paul gave Timothy at Ephesus is the same warning that we need to take to heart today? We're watching so many churches of Christ, our brethren, but they're heading to the rocks. And some of them have already made shipwreck, teaching things that are not in the scriptures. They're compromising. They're becoming lukewarm. It's a scary time. And we need to keep the charge. Just like Paul told Timothy to keep the charge. Because the sad reality is that the very people God put up there are being imitated today. How many people have gone in the way of Cain? How many people are worshiping God without scripture, without commands? They've added to, they've taken from, they've modified, you drive down the road, traditional worship. But you know what their traditional worship is? Something that came out of the Middle Ages. Something that came out of the Protestant Reformation. They don't go all the way back to the scriptures. We are the only ones who practice traditional worship. Because we make certain everything we do here is by faith. We have a scripture for it. Cain didn't do that. Woe unto them, Jude says. They went in the way of Cain. There's a lot of people in the way of Cain. Nadab and Abihu in their offering of strange fire. How many people are offering strange worship and strange teachings, expecting God to stamp them, just like Cain expected God to stamp his false worship with his approval by accepting it? He wouldn't do it. Even Moses added to the commandment. He struck the rock and he said, "We will bring you water," when the Lord had said, "Speak to the rock, I will bring them water." Saul, in offering that burnt offering, bringing back the animals from the fighting of the Amalekites, just some minor modifications. Matter of fact, Saul and the people of Israel were perfectly happy with what they'd done. Saul made a monument to himself. Here is Saul, the great obedient servant of God. Samuel didn't think so. God didn't think so. Uzzah is a classic example. Why didn't the grace of God cover Uzzah? They just made a small blunder. They put the ark on a cart. But when Uzzah touched it, God didn't give him any grace, because they'd added to the scriptures. They weren't keeping the Lord's commandments. And whatever the consequences of that were, they needed to suffer them. So Uzzah died. Solomon was told as a king, "Do not multiply wives to yourselves, and do not marry women from these nations." Solomon did both. He suffered shipwreck, started building idols' temples, not only worshipped idols, built temples in Jerusalem, right next to the temple of the Lord. Jeroboam and the Israelites who followed Jeroboam. I say Jeroboam is the first Jewish denomination. And they never departed from it. They kept it for centuries. God never once accepted it. He saw it as a sin. I could put slide after slide after slide after slide of the people that dealt with Jeremiah, the people that dealt with Isaiah, the people that dealt with Hosea, the people that dealt with, and we could just cross the board and fill up the whole sermon with it. But now it's our turn. We've seen the shipwrecks of the past. We've seen what happened to Balaam, who was a servant of God and made shipwreck his faith. It's our turn. We live in the world now. We have a great cloud of witnesses, and we have to decide, are we going to hold fast? Multitudes have come into this world and taken nothing out, not even their faith. They didn't even have their faith when they died. Because there's only one thing we can take out: faithful service to God. Brethren, the forces at work today are incredibly intense, and we're going to be very, very fortunate to get through this world unscathed. And if we're not holding fast to the scriptures, I will guarantee you, you're going to start believing fables. Fables that justify changing doctrine. We cannot do that. We have to get through this life. As Jesus told one of the churches, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life." And so as we conclude our lesson, and brethren, I realize that maybe this is an out-of-season sermon for some of you, that this is all information we've incorporated into our lives. But you know something? You can make convictions and commitments to yourself 20 years ago and now look back on those commitments and convictions and say, you know, I've drifted. I'm drifting toward a shipwreck. I don't want that to happen to any of us. I certainly don't want to have it happen to me. But the influence, the evil companionship, even among our brethren, people that used to stand with us but are now trying to bring us with them, it's a terrible thing. Remember, for the space of 3 years, Paul said, I exhorted all of you night and day with tears. And we still got all of that in the scriptures. And so as we open up our songbooks this morning to number 344, they are of God. He who hears them knows God. He who does not hear them does not know God. How does that fit in with your moral and doctrinal stance in the world today? You need to make any changes? You're going to stand before God, and He's going to go through our lives with a fine-tooth comb. Your idle words, you're going to give an account of them. Your compromises, the Lord's going to ask you about them. Why did you do that? Why didn't you hold fast? If my son had compromised the way you did here, he could not have been your Savior. Why do you think that you can make those kind of compromises? Jesus told you, if you abide, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments. As we sing the song of encouragement this morning, if there's anyone in the audience who's heart is touched, maybe you're a little concerned, go home and repent. Go home and put your own life through this fine-tooth comb before the Lord does to make sure you can pass it. It's going to be too late when we stand before Him weeping and gnashing our teeth in agony because we are almost lost. As we sing the song, if we can help you in any way, we would invite you to come while we together stand and sing it.